plus my two. Courtney, who was meaner than all the boys. And Peyton, who was little. He was about 6 or 7. And they wasn't nothing like going to church with seven kids, your wife and yourself, and pastoring a little church called Macedonia Baptist Church in Villanelle, Georgia. There was some mornings that things would happen. You'd have to walk up in that pulpit and preach, and knowing you was going to have to deal with 7, 8 problems as soon as you got out of it. I've been riding pretty good for a while, so we're back in practice today. Take your Bibles, go to Ruth chapter 1. God gave me this message long about last night. I had another word that I thought I was going to preach, but God knows better. Is there anybody in here that needs to know God's in control? Is anybody in here that needs to know that no matter what's going on the outside, God's working everything to your good? Is there anybody in here that needs to know if the world could be falling apart, God's still making a plan to save the whole world, and he's carrying it out? Amen? Diane's going to read this morning. She's got one of the best reading voices in the country. But I will abruptly interrupt her several times probably while we're going through this. I'll start where God wants me to start, and we'll end when God says, hey, that's enough. We'll have an altar call. I'm going to try to preach to you some things that you might need to hear through a little girl named Ruth, a young lady named Ruth, that God, mind out of Moab. Mind, like, you know, when you're mining for something, when you're trying to get gold out of the ground, God will reach into places that nobody else can reach or will dare go to get the people he wants and needs. God, I tell you right now, I've done enough preaching this morning already to have some of you shouting. Because there's some of you sitting on these pews, on these rows right now, that God came and got you where he should have never came and got you. You can sit here respectable this morning, all dressed up, cleaned up, smelling good. But praise God, if you could show somewhere where God come and got you out of your darkest places. Ain't you glad God comes? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad he leaves the 99 and goes and gets the one? Amen. Hedges up the 99 and goes and gets the one. Dan, please give me that first verse, please.
Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man, Bethlehem Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, and his two sons.
Amen. Right there. I want y'all to see that. Where there was a famine in the land. Do y'all know what Bethlehem Judah means? Bethlehem means house of bread. Amen. Means house of bread. And in the house of bread, there was a famine. In America, where you can't go hungry, well, unless you're trying real hard, you can't go hungry. Amen. We had a pandemic, and it seemed like the whole world was falling apart. But God.
Amen.
But God. Even through a pandemic, can save lives.
Right.
Some of you are thinking, well, down there at the hospital, there were people dying left and right. They were all alone. There was nobody there. You're sadly mistaken, my friend. God was never kept out of any place on the face of this planet, more or less the hospitals. If I know anything, I know this. My Savior, my God, my Lord, will walk into a hospital room of a person who doesn't even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, present himself and say, today is choosing day. Boy, I love this right here. All of a sudden, down in Bethlehem, there came a famine, and this man said, you know what, I'm going to take me and my family, and we're going to go down to Moab because I hear there's working food down there. No mistakes. God uses everything in your life to His glory and honor. Amen. Some of y'all might want to write this down. Every mistake you ever made, God used it. Every great choice you made, God used it. I have a feeling right now, impressed by the Holy Spirit of God, that there is somebody sitting in this room right now. You're sitting in the middle of a mistake. You're sitting in one. And you're wondering if God is even anywhere near you or confines you. I want to tell you this. God knows you're in the mistake. All you have to do is call out to Him in the mistake, and He will rescue you. He will come to the rescue. He will send help, amen, if you ask Him for help. I'm so glad of that. Him and his wife and his two sons, when they left out of the famine, when they walked out. Have you ever walked out somewhere thinking it was the worst day of your life? His wife looking at him, got no food, got no bread, walking around away from their house, their friends and everything they know, thinking we ain't got anything. There's been times in life where I thought I was without, but I didn't know that I had everything that I needed. And God eventually showed me the worst time of my life really wasn't the worst time. It was probably some of the best times. Yep. Goodness. Awesome. All right, give me the next verse.
And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion.
Amen.
Ephrathites, the Bethlehem Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there.
Listen, if you don't believe the Bible when you read it, just believe, in fact, by the names alone. Elimelech comes to understand is a man who trusts God. God will provide everything you need. Elimelech said, I trust God. Have you ever had to trust God when you didn't even have all the answers? Or any daddies in here that had to step out by faith and do some stuff and you're going, God, if you don't come through on this, I'm going to take the whole family down. I'm going to take the whole family down with me. God, if you don't come through on this right here, we're not going to be able to eat. We ain't going to have a house. We ain't going to have some clothes. God, I'm going to need you. I praise God. Old Elimelech stepped out there and said, I trust God. And guess what then? He had two sons who were named Sick and Failing. Amen? Be careful what you name your kids. You might want to do a backup study on some of that. But ain't that amazing? They walked out of there down to Moab with Naomi, who means sweet. Has anybody ever gave you a name and it was sweet, but praise God, every once in a while you didn't act like it? Amen? Praise God, your name means sweet. It means, oh, he's a good one. But praise God, sometimes you act it up. I've been there. They went down and they sojourned in a place where nobody believed like they believed. Nobody thought like they thought. Put this down right there by verse 2. You ain't got to have a crowd to love God. You ain't got to have a group to follow Jesus. If you need a bunch of people to keep following Jesus, you're in trouble because they ain't a lot of people on the narrow path through the narrow gate. Amen? It's like one of them hiking trails you get on to. I'm going to preach everything I know. Diane, just hold up. Amen? Watch this right here. You ever been somewhere, one of them hiking trails? Lamar, you ever go to a hiking trail? He's looking at me like, no. But anyway, if you go down there to the hiking trail, I love this little thing. They got these wonderful things called signage. Amen? And you go down there and you look at the two signs. There's usually two. And there'll be one that says 0.001 to Overlook. Amen? And then there's another sign over there that says 7.5 miles to Trailhead Beginning. Some of y'all didn't get that last part. 7.5 miles to the beginning of the trail. And you see the smart people, they look at the sign, and some of them will look at each other and go, do we want to make the hike? And the dad usually goes, let's go check out the overlook. Amen. Let's all go down and get the overlook. And if we ain't worn out by then, we'll go into the gift shop, spend all my hard-earned money, and then we'll go get something to eat and have a beautiful ride through the mountains. But there's always somebody. There's always them group. You know, we got a cooler, three young kids. Oh, they don't pay attention to the sign. Next thing you know, they're toting it all out. You got them. You got the ones who've got the hiking backpack. They got the beautiful staff. They got the shoes that are hiking shoes. Mama's in flip-flops. Amen. Mama's in the flip-flops. Daddy's in his blue jean shorts, you know. And they're walking out to that 7.5 mile just to the trailhead. And everybody's looking at them. And they're looking at everybody going, golly, bum, man, there's only like a few people going here. Everybody went down to what looked like the overlook. Amen. The whole point of this, I'm trying to tell you, praise God, you ain't going to meet a lot of people on the trail of real true Christianity. When God's really stirring and really moving and really pressing and really trying to get you where He wants you to go, it's going to be few and far between the people that you are going to see. But the good news is, we ain't in it for the people.
Amen.
I didn't get in it for the people. I got in it because God come down and got me out of my sin. We just keep walking because God said there is a finish line and I am at the finish line. Praise God. Listen, why do you want to go to the finish line? Why? Because I hope you met Him. Paul met Him. Paul met Him on the road to Damascus. He said this little word right here. He said, I am trying, God, I hope you get this. I am trying to apprehend that thing that apprehended me. I'm just trying to get a hold. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep sharing my testimony no matter what, because I'm going to finish well.
Amen.
God will bring people along the trail right when you need them. Can I go on with that little analogy about the hiking one more? Let me just do one more for you, because it's always good. I love being on that trail where you're almost about to give up. You ever been there? Keith knows what I'm talking about. Keith's down there thinking, man, we could be at the Mexican restaurant if we turn right now by 3:30 if we keep going. But all of a sudden, you're going somewhere, and all of a sudden, somebody meets you on the trail who's already been where you're headed. Somebody, I don't like running into them sometimes, but it's always good when somebody comes. They say, if you'll just keep going. It's beautiful down there.
Amen.
Amen. I was just down there. Just keep going. God sends people that you need. He don't always send what you want, but He will send what you need.
Amen.
He will send what you need. If you'll keep walking, you'll see what everybody else is seeing. If you'll keep walking, you'll run into the main thing. I'm here to tell you, some of you this morning, just go when God tells you to go. Do what God tells you to do. I don't care if everybody else is not doing it. Just do what God has called you to do.
Amen.
Give me that next verse, Diane, please.
And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons.
Man, look at that. Friend of God, man, trusts God. God believes everything God's going to do. Gets down there in Moab and dies. Do you think Elimelech regretted going to Moab when he got into heaven? That's a trick question. Don't answer too soon. Amen? You won't never regret doing anything that God has told you to do on the face of this planet when you get to heaven. When you get to heaven and God shows you that He used every decision you made, that when you followed Him to bring about His purpose, Elimelech got to heaven, and I guarantee you, he said, God, I'm so glad that You used my life, and I am so glad that You used my death to bring people to Jesus. God, a bum. Y'all didn't like that. I know. This is 2023. Nobody. We only want to live our best life right now. We want to get everything we're owed. We want to think that God just opens up everything good. But praise God, let me tell you, if you live this thing right, when you die, God will glorify himself through your death just like he does your life.
Amen.
Amen. I hope some of you, by the end of your life, when you're laying there in that bucket, hey man, when people pass by, they can say, hey man, that person right there helped me only in life, but their death is helping me understand I've got more in heaven than I do on earth.
Amen.
Amen? Give me that next verse. Elimelech's died. Naomi's left with her two sons. Can't get much worse now, right?
And they took themselves wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah. And the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years.
Write that down. About four. They got married, had wives. Orpah's name means stiff-necked. That's some of you in here, you're stiff-necked. You ain't never going to bend to God. No matter what God tries to do, you want it your way. You want it, everything to be about you, but you'll never let God have his real will in your life. You'll be petty and small and insignificant. But if God would, if you would ever relinquish control to God, you would be amazing for Jesus. But Orpah's got a stiff neck. She's got a sister, got a friend. Her name, Ruth, means friend. Good God, if you don't ever get anything else out of this message. God, through the Bible, the people he chose to be in his lineage, shares a lot of his characteristics. Whew. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Amen.
Jesus is a person. Everybody, God, I hope nobody takes off running right here. Everybody else can walk out of your life, but Jesus will not. Everybody else will forsake you and leave you. Some people will try to cancel you. But guess what? When you get canceled, left and forsaken, you can turn your little noggin right over and Jesus will still be there.
Amen.
Amen. I'm tempted right now to go ahead and preach a little bit about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas was down there preaching. Amen. To everybody about Jesus, witnessing, preaching. That's all they ever really did. All of a sudden, one day, they cast a demon out of a little girl. Wrong girl. Amen? If you mess around and see the wrong one saved, you mess around and get the wrong one messed up, the devil will park himself right in your ministry, right in your life. Amen? They got tired of messing with her. Good God. They got tired of messing with her. She'd get behind them and make fun of them and criticize them out loud. Oh, they're preaching about the Most High God. Paul just turned around one day and said, hey, get out of her.
Yeah.
Amen?
Praise the Lord.
And you know what happened, though? There was some people making money off her life. They were making money off the demon possession of her life. They was making some money off of it. So they just lost everything they was gaining. Some of you ever get saved, some people are going to stop making some money off of your life. No, let me say it this way. They're going to stop making some money off of your misery.
Amen.
There's going to be some people who ain't making money off your addiction. There's going to be some trial attorneys go out of business. There's going to be some stores that go out of business. Some drug dealers are going to have to go get another job. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just preaching to you like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Silas then got kicked into prison. Why did they get put in prison? They got put in prison for getting the devil out of somebody. That'll get you in jail today, too. Got down there about midnight. Paul and Silas, you know a good hymn. Amen. I like to sing I'll Fly Away.
Yeah. Amen.
Why don't we just do that Amazing Grace one? See what that does. Amen? Let's just sing Amazing Grace. See what that does. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Amen.
All of a sudden, God said, I like what you sing. Start tapping his foot on his footstool, which is the earth. And all the chains fell off and all the doors opened up.
Amen.
Amen? You ain't ever alone when God's with you.
Amen.
If you ever sit there and think, man, I'm all alone. Hey, there's going to be some of you that are going to be widows and widowers, amen? You're going to be in a home all alone. You're going to be sitting there going, man, I ain't got nobody to help me, nobody to watch over me, nobody to look over me. Pray God, just look around the room. Say, just start praising him. If you'll praise him, he'll fill the room, amen? Yeah. God's your husbandman now. He's the one that loves you now. Oh, praise God. Some of y'all don't know what that means, but pray God, I'm going to tell you right now, it's lonely sometimes. Some of y'all under 30 right now don't know what lonely is all about. You got more friends. You got, oh, I got it, man. Well, there's going to be one day you couldn't count all your friends on one, probably on one finger, but I'll say one hand to be generous. Amen. Give me that next verse, please, Diane. You're doing a wonderful job. Is she not a wonderful reader?
And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband.
Look at that, man. Has life got worse for her? Yes. Is she in a low spot? Mm-hmm. In a low, low spot in life. She's sitting there going, man, God must be against me for something I've done wrong. We don't think like that anymore. We think God's done wrong. But she's thinking, man, I wonder what I've done. Yeah. Amen. If anything's going crazy in your life, you need two things. You got to say, God, I repent. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I need you to fix it. Right. Or you need to say, God, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. I'll just love you through it. Sometimes you got to make your mind up. Amen. Paul said this too. He said, I think myself happy. Amen. I sat there on that front bench this morning and just said, hey, I'm going to think myself happy. I ain't happy, but I'm going to think myself that way. Amen. Yeah. Some of y'all going to have to make your attitude change in your head. Give me that next verse.
Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread.
Woo, glory. Who sent word? Who sent word? Did y'all say that last part? God's back at the house and he's got the bread cooking. Praise God. I don't know who it was, but ain't you glad it found her ears? Ain't you glad Naomi hurt old Naomi's ears? Naomi sitting under Moab and going, I ain't got nothing. I just told y'all this minute I could have preached this from here. All of a sudden she goes, somebody whispers, says, hey, up in Bethlehem, God's making good bread again. The light's on, like down at the Krispy Kreme donut, hot and fresh. The lights came on. Hey, man, I ain't got what I want. I ain't got what I need. But praise God if I can just get back to the house of God. If I can just get back where the fresh bread's rolling out, I'll be happy. I'll go back to see what God's going to do. Praise God, she gets up, dusts herself off. Some of y'all needed to do that. Some of you did it this morning. Some of you had the hardest time in the world walking through those doors, getting ready this morning. Ain't you glad you're here now? The devil told you a million times, don't you go back. Don't go in there. You don't need it. Praise God. Now here you sit. You're hearing something that's going to feed your soul instead of your flesh. Amen. Give me another word right there.
Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people.
Verse 10, let me give you one quick thing right there. Not everybody who says Lord is going to go with the Lord. Words also need to be followed up by action. Go ahead, Diane.
And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her.
All right, stop right there. Man, I know that's a lot of reading, but did y'all get it? Hey, listen, before this meeting happened, I was sitting at the house last night preparing and reading over this, and somebody, God said there's going to be a couple people there, and I knew they was going to be here. I just didn't know how it was going to work out. But one of them was Abby. Abby, you remember? Do you remember when we went down to Utah? Do you remember? That's amazing. We went down to Utah, and we met this little girl, man, who was not a little, she's a young lady, who had came out of Mormonism. I'm talking about strict Mormonism, where they had, I mean, it was very hard on her. She had been treated so terrible in life. She had, it was crazy, all the things she had been through. But she had went, of all places, when she escaped, when she got loose, when she broke out, of all the places she could go to, you know where she went? The great state of Tennessee. Amen. To the great state of Tennessee. And she lived with a Christian family. Is that right, Abby? She lived with a little old Christian family. And what happened is when she was living with this Christian family, it wasn't the fact that God was beating her with these scriptures and telling her that her religion was wrong and it was not right and she needed to change so much. That wasn't it. You know what had happened? Abby, if this is not the wrong word, she had seen a contrast. Is that the word? A contrast. Abby, is that right? Contrast. God will show you a contrast. See, Orpah sat in that same house with them godly people and wasn't looking for the contrast. Oh, but this little girl sat in that house and said, that's how a husband's supposed to act. That's how a mama's supposed to act. And that's how a married couple's supposed to act. I think I like this God thing more than this false religion thing. And I think I'm going to take God over that. She didn't need a message. She just needed contrast. She just needed contrast. She just needed somebody to show her there was a God who saved right, who loved right, who done right. And for the first time in her life, she said, I really want what you have. You don't really have to preach a message as much as you have to walk one. You don't really have to say a whole lot to a big crowd of people. Just let somebody listen to how you talk to your husband or your wife. The reason God wanted me to talk to Abby during that part, I don't mean to point Abby out, but when we went down there, that was the first time I ever seen her heart. I seen a lot of people's heart on that trip. You don't go on mission trips because they need you out there more than you need at home. Sometimes you need to get out there and see a different thing to bring some stuff to you. And we've seen where people were ripped out of their homes by their parents. And it gave us a great burden for those people. Amen? And then it made us thankful. I know what it did to me. It made me thankful. Did it make you thankful? For the mom and daddy that I had. Because they told about a little girl. Her daddy took her over to the prophet's house, 14 years old, drove her over there. Daddy, I don't want to go. Daddy, don't take me over there. He said, I have to, sis, I have to. I couldn't imagine that with my whole life. I love kids more than anything in this world. I could not imagine doing that. And I'm sitting there praying. I'm thanking God. I'm saying, God, I'm so grateful that you put me in a place that I never have to experience that. That's one thing. But the other part of me said, God, I'm so grateful that you love them just as much as you love me. And if anybody is in a bad shape like that, if they reach out to you, they'll find you. Amen? Ain't that good? Aren't you glad God just ain't in love with us down here in Tennessee? He's in love with everybody around the world. Amen. He ain't just trying to save me and you. He's trying to save everybody in the world. He's reaching for everybody. Some of y'all wonder why you come to this church sometimes. Because God's reaching for you. God is. You know what I tell people all the time? I say, how about old so-and-so? And how about old so-and-so? Are you worried about them? Don't you need to do this? Don't you need to do that? Listen what I do. I wait on the Holy Spirit of God. If God tells me to do something, I do it. If he tells me not to do something, I ain't doing it. I don't care. If you sit with a crowbar and a hammer and try to get me to do it, I ain't doing it. All of a sudden, God says, if they keep coming, they're going to have to get in the faith or they're going to have to get out the door. Mm-hmm. And that's not my business. Amen? I remember when Brady was coming here. Amen? Did you know Rebecca was worried about you? But I hate to tell on you. Sorry, Rebecca. She's worried about him. She's like, he's dating my daughter. Amen? But I don't know if he's saved or not. Kevin, we might have to do something. I said, I can't save him.
Amen.
But if he really likes your daughter, and he keeps showing up at this church, God's going to put a rest on his soul.
Amen.
And it wasn't long after that, right up here in this altar, bad boys, bad boys, what you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? The Holy Ghost arrested him, didn't he? Got saved right here, didn't you? Ain't that something? Some of y'all sitting here worried about people. I wonder what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. You keep getting around God, God will get in you.
Amen.
Now, everybody around you might not like it, but God will like it. Amen?
Yeah.
Give me that next verse.
And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back into her people and into her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God.
Hey, you want me to show you something? This is where I'm going to stop this morning. This is where God said we can get off the bus, right here. Sorry, Abby. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Hey. Are you about to get married soon? Jan and Ray, for Abby back there, right? Would this be some good advice? You know what I'm about to say, Jan? This is Jan and Ray's vows, right? For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do to me so, more also, but death part thee and me. Ain't that y'all's marriage vows? Those are pretty good, aren't they? Man, Abby's going to be like, I don't want to come back here ever again. You have a choice in life. Everybody in this room's got a choice. Orpah made a choice. She chose her own life, her own way in Moab. She chose. The sweetest word in the Bible in Ruth is this. Ruth chose to cling to God. It's not a popular statement in our country today. We cling to God. She said, I've had one thing in my life that's real and powerful. Moab, I spent most of my life down there, and there was nothing there to offer me that was good. God has come down here and tried to draw me out. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cling to God. I'm going to cling to God. Some of y'all this morning, you're sitting in these services, and you've never grabbed a hold of God. You've never said, God, I don't want my life anymore. I don't want that old life. I don't want to do life my way. I'm just going to grab hold of you. And wherever you go, that's where I'll go. And whatever you do, that's what I'll do. And your people will be my people. Amen? And God, you're my God. Some of y'all need to resign that before it's eternally too late. Some of y'all need to resign that fact in your heart and your mind. You need to say, you know what? I'm giving my whole life to Jesus. It might ruin every part of my life, but it won't ruin my eternal life. Let's all stand as they come get a song. If God spoke to you this morning, if you need to make that choice, here's the simple prayers this morning. Here's the simple prayer. It ain't too hard. It ain't hard at all. Some of you just need to come up here to this old altar and say, God, I choose to cling to you. I choose to cling to you. I'm going to grab a hold of you and I ain't going to let go. The good news about that is, as soon as you make that prayer, he grabs a hold of you. He'll put you in his hand, and there is nobody who can pluck you out of his hand. That's the way it works with God. If you think you're going to touch him, he touches you. If you think you're going to grab him, he grabs you. If you think you're going to get in a hold of God, he gets a hold of you. I dare some of you this morning to make your way up here to this altar and say, I don't care if this ruins every relationship I got. I don't care if it ruins my life at work. I don't care. I'm coming to get a hold of Jesus because I need him more than I need anything else. Let me tell you a secret. All that stuff I just said, he won't ruin it. He'll just make it better. He'll make it right. He'll give you a joy and peace about everything you do instead of a grind, instead of somebody just wearing you out. Go ahead, Brother Singh. Sorry. Go ahead. Kyle, go ahead and play the song.